Thank you, Sansa.
He doesn't remember fuck all from podcast to podcast.
You're right.
But that,
mm-hmm.
that specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a vindictive fuck.
We've met.
Greetings, Apropossy. Unbuckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your host,
Salsa.
James. Jesus. What are we drinking, Salsa?
Is Jenna okay?
She will be.
Okay, she's turning purple. She's turning the same color as her shirt.
That's... Her shirt is red, honey. It's not purple.
It's purplish.
No.
It's a burgundy. Go burgundy.
No.
I'm going burgundy.
It's not even. This is almost. It's cranberry. I'll give you.
It's wine dark.
Oh my god.
It's the wine dark sea.
It's maybe two shades darker than
you're turning
red.
The same color as your shirt.
That's yeah. There. All right. Okay, got it.
All right.
Done.
We are drinking.
We sure are.
Oh, buddy.
From the Rock County Brewing Company, we are drinking from the Janesville Fire Department, Tower 81.
Ah.
I know. Named after the ladder truck in service with the Janesville Fire Department, this Irish Red Ale is an easy drinking with a slightly sweet malty finish.
Hell yes.
The cans look very fire trucky. There's red and yellow on them.
Yeah, and all that purple.
Oh, there's no... Jesus fucking Christ, also.
A delicious purple ale.
Yes.
I am not drinking ale purple or other. I'm drinking Down East Original Blend Unfiltered Craft Cider.
This is
really good beer.
This is not terrible.
Oh, that's a good cider.
Oh.
It tastes like apple.
Woohoo!
Well,
not all ciders taste like apple.
That's very fair.
This tastes like
cider should.
This tastes like apple juice that has just a little bit of like a fizz to it. Honestly, it does not.
Oh,
that could be dangerous.
That could be dangerous.
Pardon me. How many more of these do you have, Salsa?
Two more.
Good to know.
Well, one is the original and one is the extra dry.
So.
But anyway, right. Yeah, that's what we're drinking. So, What y'all been up to?
Fencing booth thing with James. No, wait, yeah, that was last week.
Yeah.
Damn. I didn't see you at all this weekend, did I?
Not yet.
So,
damn.
This is going to be a short conversation.
Well, I went to go usher for my spouse's show.
You ushed?
I was going to. I did not.
What
you
happened?
You failed to ush.
I did not ush. Not even a little ushing.
Oh, God. Mm. Ushing is important for that show. What happened?
So, it turns out I was a week ahead. I ush tomorrow, but I was already there, and they said, so the delightful Shannon Custer can't attend this evening and has requested that her ticket be put to good use. So I got to attend as an audience member, and then I will ush tomorrow.
Oh, yay.
Yes.
Very cool. I'm so bummed Shannon Custer couldn't make it.
Same. But also, like, what a delightful person.
Because
I was like,
I'll pay the thing
on the... And they were like, no, she took care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
What
genuinely.
A sweetie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Genuinely sweet.
Yeah.
There was that, and I see what you were talking about with the show. Yeah. And I am very glad that I got the opportunity to watch it before going to help paint horses at my parents', because the topic of conversation was, what do you think happened? What was your
So
there was a lot of conversation about that. This last weekend, my goals were to get some of the garden and yard work stuff done.
Sure.
And I got some.
Okay.
not as much as I had planned. Yeah. It was a good deal warmer and more direct of sunlight than
I
could really withstand for too long. I was out there for about 3 hours in total, and that was enough. And afterward, I was sort of, you know, a limp noodle and just wanted to lay down for a while.
Right.
And this was also the same day that dear friends of the podcast, Rob-a-ba, and his wife were doing a barbecue.
Oh, and you don't say.
So I had planned to go to that.
Oh.
At least for just a little bit.
Sure.
But I was like, I'm exhausted. And I still have more stuff to do, was the other thing. Like, if I can muster any energy, I have to do these things.
Yeah.
I did not get to do those things either. But I did have to muster. Our child informed us.
Yes.
On Saturday, the day, that he was planning to have a couple people over and just cook some stuff on the grill.
Oh.
He did not tell us that he was buying like 12 or 13 pounds of meat and inviting functionally every person he knows.
I wasn't invited. Now I'm offended.
Yeah. It ended up being all of our bonus kids.
All right.
And also Vincent's birth father. And then one of our bonus kids also invited a friend. And that friend was Neil from the fencing booth.
Very cool.
Yeah. I'm maybe smooshing Saturday and Sunday together. I don't remember.
Okay.
So, that. And then, so we had fewer people than had been invited, but a lot of people came over.
And very suddenly.
And very suddenly. So we did a what I commonly refer to as a 10-second tidy.
Yeah.
Which is like the 4-stage booster launch program of making the house acceptable for
how full are your closets?
Human habitation. Not very full.
Okay.
No, it was less a Fibber McGee and Molly situation and more a just like
okay.
Knuckle down and panic.
Another obscure reference. That's yeah.
That one was for you because I knew you would understand.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I also understood it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't always get
that.
No, them,
I know,
so.
But I just like the fact that he was casting about for another reference and was failing.
But I, instead, we just panic cleaned. Right. And that is surprisingly effective.
Yeah.
The house is clean.
There's a brief sketch that is on the internet where somebody's like, hey, mind if I come over in about a half an hour? And the other person is like, sure. And then a half an hour later, the first person calls again. And it's like, so, how's your apartment? And the other person is like, what, you're not, what do you mean? Like, aren't you coming over? He's like, no, you told me to call you randomly and say I would be showing up in a half an hour so that you would clean.
Huh?
And he's like, my apartment looks great, thank you.
That is. Well, and for for a good while, Jax was using their skill as social organizer and community organizer to make sure that we had people over frequently so that we would panic clean more
frequently. Yeah. Which it makes it less difficult.
Yeah.
And yeah.
One of the things that we did get through, we have started the condensing and sorting of a variety of hobby things.
Okay.
And it is a truly massive effort in a household with three pretty neuro-spicy, very hobby-forward
right.
individuals.
Yeah.
There's a lot to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we have gotten started on it. Oh man. So today we rewarded ourselves by doing nothing except going to see a movie.
Nice.
with our friend Bear. And so we decided to see Mandalorian and Grogu. We went to the Alamo. This was several of us, our first time at the Alamo Draft House. And that place is fucking awesome. That place is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. At one point, Bear and I were just walking down one of the hallways and been like, I saw that on Mystery Science Theater. I saw that on Mystery Science Theater. That's one of my favorite B-movies.
Yep.
That's another one. Yeah. Nah, just wonderful. It was a delightful experience.
Mm-hmm.
I did have to wear a little bit of ear protection because their sound system is
glorious,
pretty awesome.
Yeah,
in both senses.
Right.
So I did wear. I have for my autism. I carry around little earplugs that just knock about 15 decibels off of stuff.
Sure.
And that was just right.
Yeah.
Other than that, I've completed several video games, but I can talk about that a different time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
How about you, Jenna?
Well, I did go to the barbecue.
Yes.
I brought some Twisted Tea, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I also brought my award-winning deviled egg pie.
Hell yes.
That's what you were making for the other day.
Yeah. Because I had mentioned, like, you know, I often bring deviled eggs to this event. And
sure.
I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. I have a better idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it was consumed by many. It was a delightful time. I showed up a little after it started. I was fashionably late. And I was there until the end. There were just so many delightful people to talk Aww. To and hang out with. I ended up meeting somebody who was like, wait, you're Jenna Young.
Like, I've heard the story.
I am.
I've read the bathrooms.
No, they've seen a few of my Fringe shows.
Oh, shit.
And they love them. And I'm like, please tell me more about how wonderful I am.
Explain to me.
Please do. Yes. So that was just like, I'm like, oh, shit, somebody does wreck. Ah! That's always weird when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I got to hang out and chat with several friends over the course of the shindig. I had no idea who was going to be there, so I show up and like I'm chatting, and the vast majority of them are people I like and enjoy, and very few of them were people I wanted to stab. So it was a good party overall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is a proper barbecue. I should make sure. I think we've talked about this before, but Joe. Kansas City Joe is very particular about what does and does not get to be called a barbecue. If meats have not been smoked, slowly smoked over the course of many, many hours, it is not a barbecue.
Fair enough.
And this was, in fact, a barbecue. Yeah, those ribs. Those glorious ribs.
I can still taste them from the last time I had them, and life is a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did bring a bottle of Gates barbecue sauce
on
behalf of Joe.
Yeah.
Who could not attend.
Huh. It is good stuff.
And
oh my God.
When I went to present it to Rob, he's like, these wings right here that I am just now putting to the table were made with Gates barbecue sauce.
Fuck yes.
From last time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, just a lovely, wonderful fucking time.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it. Yeah, today I did fuck all. I was going to do so many things and did none of them.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I feel bad because I have so much to do, but I was wiped afterwards. I can't party like I used to. Or at least I can party like I used to, but the recovery is way longer.
The spirit is willing, but the flesh is spongy and bruised.
So I have Fitbit, right?
Uh-huh.
And it tracks everything, and it's wonderful.
Uh-huh. Sure.
But it got bought out by Google.
Yeah.
And they have replaced the Fitbit app with, and just like the other day. They replaced the Fitbit app with health.
Google Health.
Google Health. Yeah, something. Yeah.
It's Google Health something. It's not. There's like 15 different Google Health apps, but it's one of them, right? Mm-hmm. This one is very specifically made for all of the Pixel and Fitbit tracking and health information. And so, yeah, I knew it was coming. They warned me properly. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
But so it happened, and like. So yesterday, like, it'll give suggestions as to what you might want to do to achieve your goals in life. You know, how to file your taxes properly, all of that. So,
make sure your taxes are always 5,000 steps away from your desk.
There you go.
Yeah.
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 What? How else are you going to get 10K in a day?
Yeah.
Duh.
Well, I thought that was so you don't hit snooze on your taxes.
Oh,
I mean, that too.
No, I just would ignore them.
Dear listeners, do not snooze your taxes.
Do not snooze your taxes.
There is an actual deadline.
Yeah.
Oof. But yeah, so the app rolled over, and it gives you little suggestions. So the morning of Sunday. It was like, hey, so we've rolled into this new thing, and I'm here to help you figure out what you want to do. There's a very AI, it's called Ask Coach.
Oh.
Like, it's so bleh. But I'm like, I'm curious, what the fuck, let's do this.
Sure.
It's already there, it's not,
yeah.
I can ignore it or not, but it is what it is. So, like, I'm like, okay, here's my information. It continues to think that I had surgery on Friday.
Every Friday?
Huh?
Every Friday?
Well, I mean, so far it's just this past Friday because it started on Sunday, James. I don't have...
enough data points, but that would be funny. That would be funny. Fuck.
Remember, your surgery is coming up this Friday.
No, it was last Friday, according to the app.
This weird, like, post-Groundhog's Day, Groundhog's Day thing.
Oh, God.
Bill Murray's performing your surgery, but don't worry, he's an expert.
He was an expert. Because it's in the past.
Anyway, Jenna, you were saying...
I don't remember anymore.
It thinks that your surgery was last Friday.
It does.
Yep.
Sunday morning, it did not have that part in the weird whatever it's doing thing yet.
Yeah.
So it was like, hey, let's get everything ready. You're gonna have a great day. Looks like your sleep was a little light over the night, but you know, you're ready to go. You can put in all this. Let's see if you can do like, I think it was like 7,500 steps or something.
Shit.
All
right.
That's kind of my normal.
Yeah, it's doable.
Whatever. And so I come back after this entire thing. And it was like, this week, let's aim for 100 cardio points.
Yeah.
So when I went to go to bed last night, it was like, well, you got 150 cardio points in a day.
Wow. Oh.
You made all of your steps and then some.
You can fuck off the rest of the week.
Basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then this morning
healthy.
Yeah, this morning, not only did I actually get a bunch of sleep in, which is not consistently a thing that happens, so
right.
I was tuckered, but, like, the app was like, Your readiness points today are 15 out of like 100.
Fuck.
And it was just like, we recommend that you go easy since you had surgery last Friday. And I'm like, I didn't have surgery last Friday. God damn it.
So far, this app is like, she had surgery 2 days ago, and then she does 150 cardio points, and then she sleeps for 12 hours. What the fuck? Somebody is running also, like analytics right now going, this can't be right. This can't be right.
Huh? She lays square eggs, but is a mammal.
Well, you know. Yeah.
You mean right. cubic?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't do that anymore.
Not after Friday.
Not since my surgery last Friday. Perfect. Nope. Yeah.
Exquisite. Salsa?
I also don't lay eggs. Ever.
I do have one more funny thing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Jesus Christ. On Friday, I took my little tablet-y thing to...
Was this before or after your surgery?
God fucking
during.
Damn it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just
to the surgeon, don't mind me, I'm getting some work done. The surgeon goes, I was warned.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, that did actually kind of sort of happen.
Oh, my God.
All right. What? When I was done with the surgery, I got my phone back and I was responding to somebody about a thing. What? Mm-hmm. Shush. It was fine.
Anyway, you got your surgery done at Torg.
I did.
Yeah.
No, I went to Torg Brewery with...
They used the beer to sterilize.
Yeah, well...
Kinky.
It's very clean. God damn it, where was I? I have my little tablet and a Bluetooth keyboard thing that I use for writing.
Yeah.
Because if it's a laptop, I'm going to want to do more.
Yeah.
If it's the tablet, the way I have that thing set up, it's harder to switch between applications. So it's easier for me to focus on what I'm doing.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And so I got to Torg at about 5, and I figured I would work on my friend's show and then see Jester's comedy afterwards.
Nice.
And that's especially important because I am doing a show that involves stories regarding my dead abusive mom. So, like, a little heavy. A little heavy. But, yeah. And I've been having problems getting the right connect for my show.
Okay.
Like, I know what it's about. Mm-hmm. And I know the stories that need to be involved, but how do I make it all smush, right?
Yeah.
How do I go that from this place tissue. To that place? Yeah. How do I make this a show and not just me telling a bunch of different stories about how shitty my childhood was? Mm-hmm. Look, how do I do this?
The marbling.
Yep. And so I did... So I'd been working on it for a couple hours, and I was rough. And a friend of mine showed up.
Oh.
It was Becca, who usually plays the keys for Jester's, but she was not scheduled for that night. So she thought she would just show up and attend in the audience.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, she showed up, and like it was getting to be about the time for me to wrap up what I was doing. And then, yeah, so I said hi, and she's like, Are you okay? Do you need a hug? And I'm like, I'm fine. And I'm not much of a hugger. She's like, I know you're not, but boy howdy. And I'm like, no, I'm just doing this. And
sorry,
she's like,
I just got out of surgery.
Okay. Fucking A.
Fuck. It was just enough time for me to forget. It was exactly spot the fuck on. All right.
So. Yeah, she's like, all right, well, I'm going to grab a beer, check in with the kids. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to finish this up. And between that and 10 minutes later when she came back to check on me, I had figured it out.
Ah.
I figured out what I'm doing with the Fringe show.
You had your eureka moment.
I did. I was like, oh, amazing. Fuck yeah. I'm going to have the audience diagnose me.
Ooh.
Yep.
I like that.
Yeah.
You're going to get some answers you're not going to like.
Well, I'm going to give them A or B choices.
Oh, okay, okay.
I have a lot of history with A or B choices. And,
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. All right.
So yeah, that's, and then I'll, you know, tell the stories, or I might tell a story and then say, and how did this affect me? Like, which diagnosis do we have for this thing? So I'm not sure which way I'm going to flip it. Probably the hey, what do you think, and then yeah, the story.
But you've got the meat of it. Yeah.
But I've got the connective bit. I've got what the show is about, and not just what I want it to tell. Right.
Yeah.
So I am incredibly excited for that, which means I can finish typing up a bunch of sad, depressing stories and then putting it all into place. So,
oh, good.
Very excited for that.
Whew.
It's going to be great.
It is.
It is.
Like, yeah.
Well, and I purposefully started with some of the harder stories first.
Mm.
Because once you can get past the hump of the hard stuff, the easy stuff comes so much faster. Phrasing. Yes, I know.
Okay.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing, James. God damn it.
You should do storytelling.
Fuck off.
recover from your surgery first.
I hate you.
Good.
Okay, so anyway, so yeah, so I had that moment, and then I got to see Jester's, and it was delightful.
Amazing.
So good.
What a rough night.
Yeah, it was a rough night. I had the surgery, I was writing all those stories, and then, you know, I saw a show. Like,
how awful.
I had a lot going on that day. It was
amazing.
Woof, buddy. So yeah.
Nice.
So those were the key points. Like, the rest of the week, it was me trying to write my Fringe show and getting various places along that. So, like,
yeah,
there's been a lot of me staring at my tablet. But, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But now I have it. I'm very excited.
Fucking great.
Hell yeah. What about you, Salsa?
Not a lot, honestly. Yeah. I had a pretty chill week, aside from job hunting.
Yeah, how's that going?
Yeah, well, I'm like, my wife went to a concert, Apocalyptica and The Who.
had
a great time there.
Yeah,
Apocalyptica. Yeah, Apocalyptica and The Who were here touring together.
That's fucking incredible.
That's
incredible.
Real good.
Yeah, so she went to that and had a great time. But, like, I did a bunch of work in the berry patch. Like, did a lot of cleaning up and weeding and stuff like that. Cleaning up our garden area there. Spraying the Creeping Charlie and stuff like that.
Sure.
Just a bunch of outdoor yard worky stuff.
Yeah.
You know, my son had his birthday. And so we did, like, sushi dinner.
Nice.
Oh, hey, that's actually something. So his birthday was on Thursday, and he requested, I make a homemade, like, yakisoba.
Mm. Oh, wow.
I make homemade noodles, and then I cook up the whole dish from scratch.
Fantastic.
And he requested that for his birthday.
Aww.
And so, like, he you know, he's going to have the big party with friends and stuff like that next week. And he had been going back and forth whether he wanted a carrot cake or a chocolate cake for that. And he finally settled on chocolate cake. But I was like, for your birthday, you should have a cake. So I made a carrot cake for his birthday. And so, like, I made the carrot cake and then I made dinner. And, like, the whole meal was all made by me from scratch. And it was delicious. Fucking fantastic. I make it fucking killer yakisoba.
I believe it.
Yeah. But it was a lot of fun. And then, like I said, I mean, kind of stuff slowly over his birthday. We had sushi yesterday for his birthday. You know, just a couple friends over and his cousins were over today just to have some fun. But not like a really big story thing happened. For me, so I unfortunately don't have a ton for this bit here. So
I'm very sad.
Ben,
yeah,
thing.
I
yeah.
We really should have started.
Here's a.
Okay.
No. Short, small story. Small story.
Oh.
But it's relevant.
Okay.
Again, job hunting. I got a phone call on Thursday. And I was just like, oh. here it is. You know, call, phone call from Thomson Reuters. Is this it? Mm-hmm. Phone call, and she's like, you know, who is this? And she's like, yeah, I'm one of the recruiters here, mm-hmm. and the person who has been working with you had to take an unexpected leave of absence.
Oh no. Oh. Well, that explains why you haven't
exactly.
been here.
Huh.
Jesus. All right.
So, in addition to her own work, she's like, I've been trying to catch up on on her, you know, backlog. So, we do apologize that we haven't talked to you in 3 weeks.
Oh, God.
But we're still interested. And we're gonna try to get stuff back on track next week.
Oh, wow.
So like, it's not a done deal, but, like, they still like you, and they're still interested, and we're going to try to get, like, the next step of the interview process going this coming week. So it's like, okay. Thank you. because, yeah, it like I said, 3 weeks of radio silence after that really good interview, and it was just like, no, I don't know what's going on. But, yeah, apparently that's what happened.
Well.
Okay.
So yeah.
Good to know.
Fingers crossed for the next few days here. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, it was nice. It was just nice to have that validation of, like,
yeah,
we get it. Yeah. we're sorry.
Yeah.
We're still talking about you. Don't worry. We haven't forgotten about you. It's like,
it's not you. It's us.
And then she was like, you know, and I see that you have applied to a couple other jobs here at you know, this company. And those ones are actually in my portfolio.
Oh.
So, you know, I could just kind of roll that together. And she looked at a couple of them and was like, okay, you know, looking at this one you might not be quite the right fit for, but this other one, you know, you might be able to. So she was like, you know, what have you done with this? And kind of did that pseudo preliminary, like,
sure.
15-minute HR call that they usually do to do that. So she was like, well, you know, while we're on the phone, let's kind of take care of that really quick. And like, she's like, yeah, you know, if they already like you over here, and, you know, you are a pretty good fit here, we might have some internal managers fighting over you, which made me feel just like, please let that be.
Fight with money. Fight with money.
Exactly.
Right?
All right. The bidding starts at 100K. we'll see. Again, I don't want to throw all my eggs in one basket, but it was just, oh my God, like, the rest of the day, I've been having tension headaches for, like, the past few weeks.
Yeah.
And like, the rest of the day, I was just like, oh, I feel so much lighter. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, otherwise, that's kind of what I got for this week. So,
yeah.
Amazing.
We can take a break, or we can talk about you fucks for a little longer.
Break.
Yeah, we'll take a break.
Let's take a break.
Maybe. Let's break some things.
Yeah. All right, cool. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. Salsa information is a sometimes treat.
Correct.
Only because I don't remember.
Look, there's no judgment. It's just fact.
Well,
okay.
Not from
there
you.
There might be some judgment.
Yeah.
But that does not negate the fact that it is fact.
Like, I judge salsa very kindly, very charitably.
What are you talking about?
But I do judge him.
Hmm? And we're back. I'm salsa.
Jenna.
And we're going to talk about what you've been watching, what you've been reading, other media intakes.
Fuck yes.
What has been penetrating your eyeballs and ear holes?
So,
Made it weird, James.
Yeah, I was about to say I've been rewatching Avatar.
Different.
Which
yeah,
one?
Yeah, way to. Actually, the Netflix live action.
Okay.
Oh, very
because,
cool.
Because season two is coming out at the end of June. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I wanted to have a proper rewatch. Mm-hmm. Make sure that I'm remembering things. And I've been rewatching with my roommate.
The Airbender. One.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That guy.
I know the other one exists, but I never think of it.
It's one of Rachel's favorite things.
The blue people?
Yeah.
I like Smurfs.
Fern Gully.
I mean, that too.
Because it had Tim Curry in it.
It did.
Truth. But yeah, so I've been rewatching that. And I think the Netflix live action Avatar is kind of like a fan retelling. It's like fan fiction almost.
Oh, yeah.
Where you get different aspects, but it can all still be canon. Like, it's all still pretty much the same story, but, like, you get it from different angles and different perspectives and with a different tone, because the cartoon was very happy child, like, ages 8 to 12 kind of a thing. And the live action feels a little older.
Sure.
Like YA older or like
YA older. Okay. It's still yeah.
Okay.
And I'm reminded of some of the things that they did that I didn't like and some of the things that they did that I did like. And
yeah.
They do have a lot of fun, happy fan Easter eggs in there and just all this other stuff. So it is a good time. And I am excited to see because the trailer dropped for season two, and like, there's some real fun moments in that trailer, so I am excited for the second. Oh, excuse me. Second season on that.
Hell yeah!
So I've been rewatching that. I'm all caught up on Ghosts, the U.S. Ghosts. they have a cliffhanger, man. I'm a little nervous about this one.
Huh.
So yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Mm-hmm. And then I watched because I never had before The Princess Diaries.
Oh my god, it's so good.
It is actually very good. It's it's fun. It's not deep intellectual work or anything, but like I did not. The universe did not unfold before me while I was watching.
Sure,
this.
Yeah.
And I did not discover the cure for cancer or war.
Yeah.
But it was very delightful. It was a delightful romp. And so then I decided to watch Princess Diaries 2.
Sure.
And that was also delightfully fun.
Decent. Yeah.
Because a lot of times you get the sequel and it kind of it was the same quality of production.
Yeah, for sure.
And I may have even preferred the story in that one a bit more. It was a delightful thing.
Yeah.
I know there's a third one, but I'm a little nervous to watch the third one just because I'm like,
because Ninja Turtles 1 and 2 were very good, but Ninja Turtles 3
that
was
exactly the thought process.
A movie that happened.
Yep.
Was it? Was it?
Technically.
I don't remember it.
You know what I do remember?
I don't remember happening at all.
I remember that they moved into a subway car in an abandoned rail station, and that was fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all that happened.
You know what I remember? T-U-R-T-L-E power. T-U-R-T-L-E power. T-U-R-T-L-E power. Teenage Ninja Turtles power.
Ninja.
Heroes in a half shell.
Ninja. Ninja.
Both of those songs are on a playlist I have of movies with movies from like the 1980s and 1990s that have a rap that explains the entire film as part of the end credits.
Yep. Yes.
And it includes Monster Squad and Ghostbusters and Adam's Family. And there are so many. Yeah. For a while, that was just what you did.
No, there was Turtles, and then there was The Secret of the Ooze, and then they never went back in time ever. That didn't happen.
Cool.
God
good enough
damn.
For me. So yeah, I'm debating if I should watch the third Princess Diaries because I'm like,
that's fair.
I've never heard anybody talk about it, so I don't think anybody knows, and I'm nervous to be the one to find out.
I am also poised,
right? So
I equally.
James, come over, bring your tiara. We'll watch Princess Diaries 3.
We'll do it.
We can braid each other's hair.
Yeah, if we can braid each other's hair, actually.
Yeah. I'm about it. All right.
I was great. That was not...
Yeah.
I was serious.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Y'all are coming over. We're watching.
I didn't say I was.
Well, how are you going to braid our hair?
Nobody's braiding my hair.
Oh.
You braid each other's hair.
You said we can braid each other's hair.
You said you can braid each other's hair.
I said we can braid each other's hair. You said we can braid each other's hair. I'm going back on the playback.
One plus two plus one.
Even if it was just words one at the chandelier, important. It was still.
It matters. So that's what I've been watching.
Is fantastic. Just,
yeah, Princess Diaries. And the energy between Anne Hathaway and Julie Andrews too is just so good.
So good. I, who have had a lifelong crush on both of them, like Julie Andrews, for me, I watched Mary Poppins and I was changed.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
she helped you grow up a little bit too.
Sound of Music.
Also, yes.
Yeah.
But. Just Julie Andrews as a governess.
Oh my!
It's the best life.
James's kink was discovered.
You're not wrong.
Okay.
So that.
All right. I'm gonna. So Salsa, what have you been watching?
Well played.
Yeah.
Talk about what I'm playing later. Let's just do what you've been watching first.
Sure.
Let me see. Honestly, what I've been playing is video games.
Oh, yeah. I just heard. Yeah.
No, I switched it on purpose because I really... Are we just not doing... Are we specifically sticking to watching?
We're going to do a couple rounds.
A couple of rounds. First talking about what you're watching, then a second round about what you've been playing, and then another round about reading,
sure.
I guess.
Perfect. Well, in that case, what have I been watching? I have been watching some Horrible Histories. Finishing that up. And I've been watching some series on YouTube by one of my favorite British historians. And yes, I have multiple. Mm-hmm. Bettany Hughes does a lot of ancient civilization stuff.
Yeah.
And she did an Egyptian series, and she did an ancient Greek series, and she did a series that was the Odyssey, where she got on a ship and she basically sailed the trip from Troy to Ithaca.
Nice.
And kind of bounced around at a few different places there too. And it was
stabbed a cyclops in the eye.
Yeah. All that sort of stuff. But I just
pretended to be a sheep for a little bit.
I don't know if you know me very well, but fucking history documentaries do it for me.
Yeah.
And Bettany Hughes does it for me.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
But it was just so delightful.
Has she ever played a governess?
I was...
God damn it.
Beat me to that one. Yep.
No, but years ago when she was younger, she did a series on Sparta, and at one point she goes diving for the shells that they made the purple dye from.
Oh, yeah.
And so she goes diving into the water in her clothes and then swims up to the camera and is just showing you these shells. And I'm just like,
Yes, the shells are
whatever
very
you
pretty.
Say, beautiful woman. Yeah. Sure.
Why does a mermaid wear seashells?
Seashells are too big and B-cells are too small.
What can I say? The intellectual librarian type is does it for me.
I'm shocked.
Not all of us here. Yeah.
Right.
So that's what I've been watching.
Sometimes I dress that way because I want to feel pretty, and sometimes I dress that way because I want other people to find me pretty. Uh-huh.
Entirely fair.
It's a twofer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I've been watching. It's history documentaries because sure. It's
nice. Kind of
I'm still making my way through a lot of older television, but I have been watching the new Dimension 20, where they are all vampires, relegated to a small town in the middle of fucking nowhere, which is it's.
Country hick vampires.
It's well, no, because they're big city vampires, but they fucked up. And so the vampire council is like, we cannot kill them, so we will send them someplace terrible.
This is punishment.
Where nothing happens at night.
God.
It's yeah. It
there
it is
no nightlife.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's it is funny. It is wild. Everybody's just a little bit fucking unhinged the whole time. It's great.
So it's a D20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there's that. I have also been watching, with Jax, the second season of Fallout.
Okay.
And we really enjoyed the first season. For me, I enjoyed it because I really like Fallout 3, and I have enjoyed aspects of the universe and things like that. Obviously, it's kind of a fucking depressing thing, but as far as post-apocalyptic media goes...
Yeah, the premise starts at a low point.
Right.
Yeah.
When you've hit rock bottom, there's only one way to go.
Yeah.
This show proves you wrong.
So, there is that. We've been watching that because we finished up Starfleet Academy, which was really good. And, yeah, so we are working our way through Fallout, and the new season of Game Changer also just started.
I have been hearing about that.
It's... I am perpetually surprised, because they maintained this enormous... bar of quality, this extraordinarily high bar of quality for functionally every episode being surprising, being fun, being actually like super cool ideas for things to do and like fun games with your friends. And then after about season 5, it started going up. They started getting more.
Okay.
and like the premise of every episode, there is a very real risk that this is going to be something intensely fucked up and awesome.
Yeah. I read a lot online about the episode where they were basically like, we are going to butt up against every single, like, lawsuit that we can.
God.
Well, and not really spoiling anything about the episode, because it does announce it in, like, the title card and everything like that. If you have watched Legal Eagle on YouTube.
Yep.
Lovely, legal.
Super handsome lawyer guy describing...
What
is correct or incorrect about, you know, films, TV, all of these other things.
He shows up as a panelist.
He is one of the three panelists, and they are fucking awesome.
And they are basically trying to break like, what's like a broadcast law.
Yeah.
And the Legal Eagles, like, there's three lawyers that are basically like, you can say that. It's just like, cool.
There are a couple of additional twists to it, and it is... It reminds me very much of... because we were just rewatching some old Game Changer. There was Sam Says, the first one. Mm-hmm. And Sam says, say something, we'll have to bleep.
Yep.
And a lot of them had forgotten at first that they were no longer college humor... And they weren't on TV.
They immediately started swearing.
Or YouTube. So they were like, fuck. Yeah, just like that. Because they figured... And then...
Fuck shit down.
They had a realization. And then the first... Brennan starts singing Hey Jude, which they did absolutely have to bleep.
Yep.
That's really
good. The prompt
good.
Was, say something we'll have to bleep. And so the second contestant, Izzy, went, something you'll have to bleep, bitch. Which is great. And then Lou Wilson, Lou Wilson starts describing, he is an employee of Dropout, formerly College Humor, as an employee of that company and a representative for them legally. He is saying that, and they had to bleep out the name, is innocent, did not kill those people, and Sam is immediately destroyed. Like, at the moment that he starts talking, he's like, my name is Lou Wilson, I'm an actor and comedian working for this company and that kind of stuff. The opposite of the views and opinions expressed.
This is the view and opinion of immediately.
Izzy, who's next to him, is dead. She's just on the ground. Mm-hmm. Done. But Sam is like pressed, like trying to press himself quantum tunnel through the wall to escape.
Yeah.
Because it's like, holy fucking shit. And he ends by like, yeah, I started this with the idea that one of you would get points, and all of you are going to get a point for this. And also, my excitement has changed to fear. Right.
And this episode was all that.
Yeah, this
exceeds expectations.
On purpose.
For fucking
Let's
sure.
Let's hire some literal lawyers to come on the show and find out if we are going to get sued.
Amazing. Oh my God. Absolutely amazing. I am looking forward to the rest of this season. The previous season had a secret ARG built into it. Mm. If you're familiar,
augmented reality
or augmented reality or alternative reality,
or
where they build something into our and there was a
yep.
there's a quick YouTube video that breaks it all down. It's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It's crazy.
The people doing the writing at that channel are fucking insane. Like, there is something wrong with all of them.
Oh, yeah. They also...
deeply, deeply wrong.
They had Sam on one of their other shows, which is Parlor Room, where they do a bunch of board games.
Mm.
And they did a playthrough of the Game Changer board game, which you wouldn't maybe think is... would work.
How
do you make it a different, but
right.
It looks fucking great.
Mm. All right.
It looks great. So there's that. That's what we've been watching.
Okay. So what have I been playing?
Yeah.
The family and I, played Sea of Thieves for a while.
Sure.
We finished the Threepwood series.
Guy Rush Threepwood.
Oh my God. It was so, delightful.
Mm-hmm.
No, the Sea of Thieves, it's the same stuff, mm-hmm. right? You have to duel people with insults. You go through like all of the various things, the shady pirates at the dock, like all of it. You just you go through the entire thing, but now it's different, but it is so beautifully just fan service. It's it's so good.
A true work of love.
It really is.
Deeply. Yeah.
They capture the characters perfectly. The story follows everything well. Like, it is
the Easter
very
eggs
well done.
Yep.
we did finish that. And we have started playing Terraria.
Ooh.
Now, here's the thing. My daughter discovered Terraria... I think she was like 10 or something, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, this is fine. It's monster hunting at points and kind of, you know, pixel survivalist stuff, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is fine. She really wanted me to play it with her when she was 10. And I tried.
Hmm.
I tried so hard.
Yeah.
But she didn't have any direction, and I didn't care, so it was kind of hard for me to, like, get into it. So she's wanted me to play it with her again for years now.
Hmm.
She's like, we should do this for family game night. And I'm like, ah, fine. So, like, I finally begrudgingly got into it. We've done this for a couple of nights now, and I'm like, okay, I get it now. I see where...
Nice.
She's like, Mom, have a bow and arrow. I'm like, ooh. She's like, I know what things mom will want to do now. I'll help with like organizing chests and digging things and all this other stuff.
Seems like an extraordinarily Jenna thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, we're gonna be able to build out our home base, and and I can shoot things.
Nice.
Very very happy for this. So yeah, we've started playing that, and it's it's great.
And it the Monkey Island content has been fantastic.
It really has been. You'd be surprised how well they can pixelate a banana.
Giggity.
Yep.
So there's that.
So anyway, that's what I've been playing. Oh, I also downloaded a game on my phone. One of those. This one is the melons one, but you start like the sizes, like you get you combine the two grapes to get the blueberry, the two blueberries to get the raspberry.
One of those combined.
Yeah.
Different from the, like, drag this thing onto this thing to make it, or like 2048 or something like that. This is one of the ones where you drop it
from the top. Yep.
And if they touch, then they combine into a larger thing. It's kind of like Dr. Mario plus that.
Yeah. And it is such a delightful, I don't need to think about this kind of thing.
For sure.
It's not timed.
Yeah,
I can just kind of look at it over and just drop it, and then I was instantly really good at it. So the dopamine is just flowing from that. So, and that's why that's what my phone games are for. The phone games are for the dopamine hits. Come on, so
yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah, that's what I've been playing. So.
I have been. Take it back in time a little bit. So many of you are probably aware that the Assassin's Creed Black Flag is getting an update. It's called Assassin's Creed Black Flag Resynced.
Okay.
They are calling it a remake, not a remaster.
Don't call it a comeback.
They basically rebuilt it from the ground up with better graphics, better, you know, engine, stuff like that. The story is mostly the same. They've altered things here and there, but again, huge update to the graphics. And apparently they have just gotten rid of all of the modern day stuff, because nobody cared about that stuff.
That's
really
not
right.
Really,
you play an Assassin's Creed game to run around being an assassin. Like, that's why you play those games.
Yeah.
So they were just like, let's just go straight to the piracy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not like Office Work Simulator plus assassination game.
It's like, let's get to the piracy.
Yeah.
So that game is going to be coming out soon, eventually. And so I was just like, you know what? I haven't played Black Flag in a long time. Like, at least well over a decade. And I was just like, I remember enjoying it. And I'm unemployed right now. And I don't have any money to buy new games. So I'm just going to, like, download this game and play it again. And, oh my god, it's so goddamn good! Like, it's one of those games that you forget just how fucking good it was.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, I had a baked potato for dinner tonight. And I ate the baked potato covered in butter and you know, bacon bits and chives and sour cream and salt and pepper. And it was just like, fuck, this is good.
Yeah.
Why don't I eat these all the time? I can't, like, god damn, I forgot how fucking good a baked potato was. That's what this game was like, is you start to play it, 5 minutes in, I'm like, fuck, why did I stop playing this game? This is so goddamn good. Mm. Like, it really is. Like, if you haven't played Black Flag in a long time, go back and play it again, because it's, I mean, the graphics are definitely old. But it doesn't, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
Cause like, you start out and then you get on the ship and you're just like, I'm a pirate.
Well, and getting new shanties.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. Friends were, interested, interested to find out that I knew the majority of the shanties that they sing.
Oh, sure.
I who work at Fest. It's truly a mystery.
Yeah, a lot of those songs by the time you get to the
same
end,
thing for Sea of Thieves.
Sea of Thieves. Yeah.
Wow, the Sea of Thieves.
I mean, correct,
but like, especially by the time you get to end game.
Yeah.
When you have all of the shanties and your super, you know, strong ships, you can just kind of pick off everybody you want to. And you're just like, I don't care what the story is. I am just going to spend hours sailing around in circles,
yeah,
listening to sea shanties,
yeah,
pirating like shit. Like, oh, it's so fun.
Did you ever?
Yeah. It's so much fun.
Did you ever play Sid Meier's Pirates?
I did not. No, I never got around to that one. That one was one of the ones that
yeah,
I missed.
That is definitely older graphics.
But oh, absolutely.
You might like it.
Well, it's where some of the like Monkey Island stuff came, yeah, from. Is, yes, originated, yep, at there. So,
uh-huh,
I know it's one that I would probably enjoy. It's just one I, mm-hmm, never mm-hmm, got around to playing that one when I was, you know, of that age. And yeah, now it's trying to find a copy that will work on modern computers.
There is that.
So, yeah, that's what I've been playing. Is that's pirate
fucking fantastic?
Piracy, yeah, it's super good.
Yay, pirates!
Yeah, mm-hmm,
it's a pirate theme.
I just...
Come on, have you played anything piratey?
Pirate.
Have
I played anything especially piratey?
Did you pirate any games?
Ooh.
Not that I want to talk about it on a podcast, but...
statute of limitations. Nobody's listening,
yeah,
to this.
Yeah, yeah.
I was about to say, all both of our listeners are going to be very upset with you, James.
So, here's the thing.
Stefan is going to judge you harshly.
He's not. he's going to be like, fucking finally. I have tried to stick pretty closely downloading ROMs for games that I not only have owned, but that I do currently own.
Okay.
Physical copies of.
But you're not above, like, if you used to own it and lost the physical copy, you're yeah, like, no, I'll just fucking read on that shit.
That's more of a gray area where I'm like, okay, I'll do that. But here's the thing. Some of that stuff, like, if I want to play Lunar, which is...
sure.
They released multiple versions in the 90s.
Right.
However...
uh-huh.
Those copies are all now fabulously expensive.
Mm.
They are. They're just like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars per disc.
Sure.
And there's no guarantee that it's going to work. And there's a lot of other stuff about that. And even if I bought that used copy, Sega's not going to see the money for that. Working Designs does not exist as a company anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's fully 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
yeah.
I feel pretty comfortable about that. So I did download.
You did pirate.
Lunar 1 and 2 for Sega CD. I have also downloaded some Super Nintendo games.
Mm-hmm.
Including, I have downloaded a couple of RPGs because I just finished Final Fantasy IV.
Okay.
Which is several people's favorite.
I mean, I finished it a very long time ago, yes, but anyway, continue. Mm-hmm.
Of course, but the thing is, I was never able to play RPGs as a kid. I tried so hard.
Oh.
And I just could not wrap my head around it. Weirdly.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Could not figure out what it was that I was doing wrong until I played and beat a Pokemon game recently, and that fixed it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's
Have you isolated what you were not grasping, or?
I don't know for sure, but it was something about the something turn-based... About
leveling up or balancing?
Combat.
Like, combat balancing, or?
Some kind of ineffable thing. Yeah. So there was that. And then now I'm moving on, because I'm trying to kind of go through things as they were released in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure.
And so I'm up to Final Fantasy IV, which was Final Fantasy II for us.
Yep.
I'm moving on to Lunar. The original one was 1992, I believe. And then I'm going to play Final Fantasy VI and Chrono Trigger Lunar 2. But also someone else has thrown in a completely different game series as well, mm-hmm, and recommended that.
What's that?
And that is Lufia.
I'm not familiar. Chrono Trigger, though, was a solid.
Sure. That one, I have heard, is... like pretty genuinely, like,
Chrono Trigger
still a 10 out of 10 game.
Like Final Fantasy VII were two games that developed who I was as a gamer.
All the way to the end of Disc 2 on Final Fantasy VIII and then hit a wall and couldn't go any farther. I spent a week trying to beat a particular boss, and then I moved. And then, like, going back to it, I just didn't have time. I was in college suddenly.
Yeah, the problem with Final Fantasy VII especially was just how long it was.
Yeah.
In that it took me, like, four tries to finally finish it.
Sure.
Because I would get, like, to the third disc or something like that, and then I just... life moved on. Yeah. And then I'd come back and was like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. Start over at the beginning.
But I, like, even trying, I had tried a couple of the Game Boy Final Fantasies. Mm-hmm. And I beat Final Fantasy Adventure, but that one's an action RPG.
Yeah.
So, of course I'm going to love that. But yeah, so I'm finally, I have unlocked playing RPGs, turn-based RPGs. And there is a wealth.
Mm-hmm. You're going just back and fixing, riches. You're fixing those moments in your history.
Yeah. Just there is untold treasures. Yeah. It's fucking great. So that's I just beat Final Fantasy IV. I also just beat Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom. I have been meaning to do that for a long time, and it's really good.
It's such a cute game.
It's so good. It's so joyful. And like, the mechanic, I didn't really like, it was good, but I was like, I don't think it's like better or, you know, it's fine.
How are they going to sustain this through an entire game?
But especially toward the end, it got really good.
It really does.
Yeah. So I ended up loving that. And then I also just played and beat a game called that's on Steam called Easy Delivery Co.
Oh, I think Jess has played this one.
And ostensibly, you're just driving a K-truck around all of these snowy mountain towns. Picking up from one place and dropping off at another place. And part of it is that you are the only vehicle on the road.
Uh-huh.
And so there is kind of a solitude and a loneliness to it. But it's also... that's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
There are radio stations that you can listen to, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, because it's mountainous, what you are able to listen to changes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you continually have to bring up your energy by drinking energy drinks or coffee.
Mm.
And so you learn to make your own coffee, and that's great. Yes?
When you say make your own coffee...
you make a fire on the ground.
Okay.
And then you're put not using a cooking your pot.
Pee.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
We're not Doug Forsyth in this one.
Yeah. No.
Bear Grylls.
Yeah. No. But the driving is a good mixture of easy and complex.
Meditative.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah. Sure.
Focused. Without being incredibly stressful. The delivery timelines are, you're not like being timed. It's not like Crazy Taxi, where you're trying desperately to get to this place before the timer runs out or something like that.
You're just doing the thing.
You're just doing the thing, and it's there is a subplot with a twist that I won't get into.
What a twist!
I did get the bad ending at first.
Oh no!
But the nice thing is that you don't have to start completely over.
Interesting.
And so I've gotten the good ending, and it is really nice.
Lovely.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just very gently spooky, or kind of eerie. It's kind of like Animal Crossing plus Silent Hill.
Mm-hmm. Very atmospheric.
Yeah. But it's like, it is genuinely nice. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to playing that occasionally and just sort of, you know, brushing up on it.
Nice.
So that's what I've been playing, but I am now moving on to Mario RPG because I have the cartridge for that.
All right.
On the Switch, and I am also playing Lunar, the first Lunar, the Silver Star. Yes. Okay. So that's what I've been playing. So yeah.
I recently purchased a new book. And so we've talked about before how I've been relearning sign language, kind of.
Yeah.
On my own. And one of the main online instructors of sign language stuff recommended a book, so I got it. It's the American Sign Language Handshape Starter. And what it is, it's a dictionary of sign language words, but based on hand shape. So, like, a lot of times when we who have grown up learning and speaking English as a verbal language, we think in, like, you know, if you have a dictionary, it goes A, then B, then C, then D, right?
Yeah.
But sign language, even though it has finger spelling, which is helpful in translating back and forth, they have a lot of words that start with the same hand shape. So, yeah, if you have, you know, there's pointer finger stuff, right? There's, one of them is called the squashed O, which is basically like, it's a bill, not a fist. but the squashed O is one of the, and so you use that in different signs. And so this dictionary is laid out like that. And what I think it's really helpful for is when I'm trying to watch somebody else do sign and they do a sign and I don't know what it is, instead of having to go back 15 times and figure it out from context, I can look it up in my dictionary now. Because I'm like, oh, they did a thing with like a B that, they went like, you know, across their chest on.
Sure.
A little bouncy across the chest, left shoulder, right shoulder, whatever. Oh, that means bored. Like, not boring board, but like a board member, a board.
Gotcha.
A group of people, a board, right?
Sure.
Which makes sense because committee is the letter C.
Sure.
That goes across like that. There's a lot of, in ASL, there's a lot of things that are similar, but have slightly different meanings. And so it's just like the hand shape will change or the action will change slightly or whatever else. So. So no, the book is possibly like it's between this and the grammar workbook that I got a while back ago. I think those have been the two handiest books I've gotten in ASL. I do own other ASL dictionaries, but it starts with the A, then B, then C, like English into ASL words, but it's still not grammatically a thing. It's not as intuitive into the culture of it. So.
Yeah. That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then I haven't really been reading any other books proper. So I've been rereading my own work over and over again while crying into the abyss. Shit. But, you know, whatever.
Wow. Yeah.
That's fine. That's what I've been reading.
Nice.
I just finished a book by R.F. Kuang.
Okay.
I had gotten two books from this author from my wife for Christmas. I previously finished the other one, and I just finished the second one. I'm not going to say this right, because I don't know how the correct way of pronouncing this is, but Katabasis. K-A-T-A-B-A-S-I-S.
Katabasis is how I'd pronounce it, sure.
Basically, it is a book of historic fiction, alternate reality historic fiction where magic is real.
Okay.
And
I love those.
Yeah, and the main character is studying at Cambridge magic. She's getting her PhD in magic.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And her professor, the professor that is her, what's it called? Advisor. Her advisor dies in a horrible magic explosion.
Oh no.
Oh.
And so she's like, I'm going to go to hell and get his soul back.
Okay.
Because it would be too much effort this close to graduation to try to find another advisor.
Plus, it's going to look great on her doctoral thesis.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely. This guy is the top of his field. And if she can have him as her advisor for her PhD, like, the prestige of that would be way beyond getting some inferior person to be her advisor this close to graduation.
Yeah.
So she's like, it'll be easier to just go to hell and get his soul back.
This feels like commentary.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so she, and, like, it turns out that, like, one of her other, like, post-secondary or whatever doctoral people has also been planning on going to hell to get him back for a very similar reason and so they go down to hell together to get him back, and they go on an adventure in hell and it has a lot of this author does a lot of stuff about, like, all of the different cultures and stories that we have about what hell is. Like, you know, Plato says it's this, and you know, Dante says it's this.
Sure.
And, you know, this Ramaswarian says it's this, and this other person says it's this, and, like, trying to piece through all of those different cultures and their stories of hell, and you know, Orpheus had this experience, but this other person had this experience, and how can those be the same thing?
Sure.
You know, like trying to gel all of those different ones. Exactly. And like, pick that apart and go, okay, how are we going to travel through hell? You know, with all of these different, cultures being correct,
right?
Yeah.
Like, how do we scan all of this and so, like, she's a linguist and he's a mathematician, and so they're coming at it from different angles, and sure. So it's very kind of dense in that, like, academic, like, deconstruction of what hell is, but it's also just a kind of a fun story because you find out that neither one of them have particularly good motivations for what they're actually doing.
Well,
all right.
And so, yeah, it's really fun. The first book I read was basically on the main character was from Canton and was brought back to England to go to Oxford again to study magic. Completely different magic system, but it was a very similar idea of, like, how the magic works through language. That's one where magic works in the conflict between the different languages that people use for the same concept.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So they have, this language has a word that means this, and this language has, like, yeah, that's the translation. But, like, culturally, there's slight differences.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, like you,
oh, I'm sold into this.
Exactly. It's really fascinating. And the difference, the small differences between those words is where the magic is.
That's awesome.
So, like, you know, if a word in one language has, you know, snow. You know, it's snow. Mm-hmm. And then you go, okay, in English it's snow. But when we think of snow, we think of this. And when they think of their word snow, they think of this. And so it's slightly different. And in that slight difference, that's where the magic happens. And when you use those two words inscribed on a bar of silver, it causes things to get cold.
Interesting.
That's super fun.
Yeah, exactly. Very fun magic system. And then that gets into colonialism because, you know, this guy is from Canton, and his whole, you know, village was wiped out by plague, and the white man came and saved him because he was a linguist and not anybody else in his family, because they were just Chinese.
God.
Exactly. Fuck. Like this whole Victorian.
I'm gonna go colonial. Tell Joe that he's just Chinese.
And then his best friend is from India. who has a very similar experience. It's like he has value because he can speak both languages and therefore can cause this magic to happen.
Right. Oh,
but the rest of his people are just barbarous brutes and we don't actually care about them.
Oh, my
and they
God.
Are they are a resource to be used.
Wow, this feels like commentary as well.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. They're really good. And so they're just like, okay, we're privileged people in Oxford doing magic. But our culture is also, being fucked up the ass by Britain, and do we want to, like, feed into that? Like, do we want to keep studying this shit and improve ourselves because our lives are good, or do we want to throw it all away and try to, like, fucking sabotage all of this because fuck that? So, both of her stories that I've read so far have been really, really good on that, like, cool magic systems and also a lot of just like internal like I don't know if what I'm doing is actually very good or not.
Nice. Okay.
Question for you. Fine. About books that you've read before. Have you read the Bartimaeus trilogy?
No.
You might like it too.
Okay.
Yeah. Very different, but some overlap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The magic system, by the way, if you liked the magic system in the previous one where the words mean slightly different things, the magic system in this one, Catabasis, the magic comes from the conflict between logic. What's it called when, like, this is a lie?
Oh, like paradox?
Paradox, yes. Yeah. All of the magic comes from paradox.
Neat. Oh.
So you create either a mathematical or a linguistic paradox and enclose that in chalk, because chalk is a dead thing that used to be alive.
Of
and
course.
So it's this living dead thing. So you use chalk and then you encase the paradox in chalk, and that's what causes magic.
Huh.
And it's just like, that's really fun.
That is really good.
Like, she's got some great music, magical systems.
That is some clever work. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So. You, James?
I'm reading Alice's Adventures in Wonderland for the first time, like, actually reading the whole
book.
Because when I was little, we had a bunch of those books on tape.
Yeah,
sure.
And it did go through a lot of the things, but kind of not. Like, it skipped over.
A lot of them are not good for kids.
So
they kind of gloss over a little bit.
But the so I've been reading that, and I've also been reading Fugitive Telemetry, which is accidentally like the fifth or sixth book in the Murderbot series. I read the first one and really liked it. And then this is now like five or six. I have to go back and fill in, because it does reference. It's like, you know, this thing and this thing that I'm used to because of these things that happened, or this important lesson that I learned somewhere else. But it is still good, even not having read those things yet.
Sure.
It's a really solid series. Essentially kind of a Johnny Five cyborg whose job was to provide physical security for human beings on mining planets.
Okay.
Started
Is
to
he alive?
Hide that they had, like, a sentience.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because after every mission, it's supposed to get wiped. And then that stopped working completely.
Yeah, it's a dollhouse situation.
And very much so.
Okay.
And then, or like a Westworld kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And, but the thing is, like, this security bot just, one, refers to itself as Murderbot. That's a self-designation. And then the...
Okay.
Because... The robot thinks it's funny.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The other thing is that every interaction in this book and all of the series, it is just like an obstacle to doing what the security bot wants to do, and that's watch human dramas.
Okay.
It just wants to watch, like, K-dramas on TV.
Hell yeah.
That's all I want to do.
Me and that robot are going to go hang out.
Hang out with human beings.
No, Murderbot's my new buddy.
And just, like, just watch daytime soaps.
We don't have to talk. We just watch TV.
Yeah. Down. And its favorite show is something like Crisis Moon or some like very daytime soap name. It's it is sort of like Burn Notice also, if you've ever watched Burn Notice.
Yep.
Because the main character will describe something and will say, like, oh, in order to avoid this thing within the rules of, you know, the universe in that book and that kind of stuff, I have to do this other thing. Mm-hmm. And I have to go about it this way. But it becomes, instead of being like Superman or One Piece power creep, where like the main character gets more advanced powers.
Right.
Yeah.
Or gets stronger, the character learns more about doing things.
Mm. Okay.
And so it's...
He just writes more macros.
Kind of. Actually. Yeah. It's weirdly fascinating, and it's very compelling. This one is, again, without spoiling anything, it's a murder mystery.
Mm-hmm. Neat.
So, yeah.
Very cool.
It's fucking great.
Awesome.
Lovely.
Yeah, strongly recommend Murderbots.
I've heard good things.
I have not watched the TV series. I don't know about the TV series, but the books are really good.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Dear listeners, what do you think of any of the stuff we've been talking about? Have you read or seen or played any of those things? What have you been reading or seeing or playing?
How have you been pirating?
Yes. and you have. We know. Yeah. We know you have.
Yeah.
Go to Discord, let us know, and we'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Apparently, your butt can taste spice.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
James.
I'm Jenna. What the fuck?
I don't know. That's a weird fact.
I thought Salsa was going to get the weird fact.
I have no idea where that was going, but I had to get that.
Oh my God. So your butt can taste spice?
It's not...
I'm looking this one up while you figure out how to say this.
Especially... Like at the end of your digestive tract, experiences capsaicin.
Yes,
in the same way that your mouth does.
Right, it burns. We all know that,
and differently from the way that, like, your skin experiences capsaicin, but at a different level.
Yes, because it's a mucous membrane.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
right.
But there's apparently some aspect of that that is like a health self check.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh no, that was the curry, not the vindaloo, or like, like, that's not how this.
Does Jenna have?
I do have. Oh God. Why are we doing this? Your butt can actually detect certain flavors.
Yeah.
Most notably, the burning heat of spicy food due to taste receptors found throughout your gastrointestinal tract. So there are actual taste receptors.
Oh, Lord.
Yep.
While you don't taste the sweet or salty flavors you experience in your mouth, your body does respond to chemicals and irritants further down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the science of, quote, tasting with your posterior...
So when I say, I'll be tasting that later.
You will.
Yeah.
Taste receptors in the gut. Researchers have found that the same G protein coupled receptors responsible for sensing sweet, bitter, and umami flavors on your tongue are present throughout your stomach and colon. These internal receptors help your body monitor digestion and metabolic health rather than consciously tasting food.
Yeah.
The spicy sensation. The burning sensation you feel after eating heavily spiced foods, like chili peppers containing capsaicin. I can't say that word. It's one of those words.
Yeah.
Is not technically a taste. It is a reaction to your body's pain and temperature receptors.
Mm.
Because these nerves exist in both your mouth and your anus, that word, capsaicin. Can trigger the exact same burning sensation on your posterior as it did going down.
Mm-hmm.
The difference, unlike the tongue, your anus cannot parse out the specific flavor profile.
And thank God.
Oh, man, being a sommelier would be a very different...
Oh, my God.
Excuse me, sir, I need to sit on this bottle. I'm afraid it has cork.
I'm going to try this.
I was going to say, would you like the cork?
It wasn't even the full sentence. I'm going to try this again, you guys.
Okay.
Unlike the tongue, your anus cannot parse out the specific flavor profiles of sugar, salt, or citrus. Its role is to respond to irritants and assist in the final stages of elimination.
Like the last...
Damn it.
The last four contestants and...
Oh, for fuck's sake. How about some trivia?
I'd love that.
We have different trivia?
Yes, we will have some different trivia.
Because that was, in fact, trivia.
Not butt-related trivia?
Yeah, could we have butt-tasting trivia? I would rather not have butt-tasting trivia.
You're saying this. We have no idea what his trivia is about to be about.
I'm very
it's
concerned.
About... Not about butts. Okay. The year.
It is about taste.
The year.
Mm. The year.
Closer than you realize. The year.
The year.
1875.
Oh. Oh, a good year.
The date. Mm-hmm. June 18th. A lovely summer day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The city. Dublin.
Okay.
All right.
The location. Chamber Street. When? Dun, 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 drama. A fire breaks out.
Oh.
The fire results in 30-foot-high flames, which soared through the building of Malone's Malt and Storehouse. What do you think is stored in this
malt
house?
Is this
not
how
beer,
songs get
this
sung?
Is Dublin.
Okay.
So it is...
Oh.
Whiskey.
Yeah.
There are around 5,000 barrels of whiskey in this warehouse, which were not properly secured.
Son of a bitch.
What resulted was these barrels of whiskey started to explode and spill their contents out into the street, which led to a literal burning river of whiskey rushing down the street.
Huh. Ooh.
Burning River of Whiskey is the name of my next folk album.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The cause of the fire was unknown, unfortunately. The Dublin Fire Brigade spread sand and gravel to try to dam the whiskey. However, it seeped through and kept spreading. Eventually, they made a successful barrier out of horse manure. It eventually stopped the flood, again, of literal burning river of whiskey.
Sure.
And the fire was finally put out by 4 a.m. of the next day.
Fuck.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, here is the good part.
Okay.
There were no deaths from the fire.
Oh, good.
Okay. From the fire.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
13 deaths of alcohol poisoning.
This days later. That wasn't even the same. That was the 24 hours it was late.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, a burning river of whiskey in the streets, and people went, well, I'm taking some of that home.
I would.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Nobody died in the fire, but 13 died of alcohol poisoning.
That is the most beautifully Irish story I think I've ever heard.
Oh, shit.
That is every stereotype I have ever put into a story. God.
It's the great whiskey fire of Dublin.
The fire, Chicago, the great Chicago fire was blamed on Mrs. O'Leary's cow and the, but it was just anti-Irish sentiment.
Yep.
And this is,
this is just fact.
No one knows how this one started.
It just, it was a warehouse and a fire happened. And
but
it was
we know how the Irish finished it.
It was the 1850s and they didn't have electricity.
Yeah.
So it was probably a fucking lantern. Something.
Well,
somehow this warehouse caught on fire and spilled thousands of gallons of whiskey in the streets, and it all
that's
burned.
Beautiful.
Well, and like wooden buildings, were crazy fire hazards.
I mean, when you started this, I was thinking of like Old Dunkow, and just you know, all of that, and I'm like, this is delightful. Oh dear, it got heavier and then lighter again somehow.
Very
5,000
gallons lighter. That's
all
a thing.
Right.
So fucking crazy.
Now you know.
Look it up. The Great Whiskey Fire of Dublin, 1857.
Yeah. Well, I know what I'm writing my next folk song about.
No shit. Does anybody have any shout outs?
I would like to give a shout out to the Hollandaise Barbecue, specifically our lovely friends that host that.
Yeah,
it is always delightful to see Robba in his aprons and behind a stove cooking for me. Me specifically, but also everybody else.
I mean, that's just collateral.
But it's just—it's such a lovely time. It's just a lovely, beautiful time hanging out with people, and eating good foods. So, kudos, shout outs to them.
Nice.
Yeah.
I am going to give a shout out to my parents. because I went and helped them with stuff, and I love my parents. Even though I am still their tech support and have been for the majority of my life.
Yep.
It's, you know, it's good to have purpose.
Right.
And also a shout out to Shannon Custer. Thanks for the ticket.
Yeah.
I'm going to give my shout out to my son. He turned another year older.
Yeah.
And he's awesome, and he's a little person. And it's
he really is.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anybody have anything to plug?
James and I do.
Yes. I also have something.
Plug your other thing, and then we'll plug the next thing.
So I've talked about TeenyCon a couple of times. TeenyCon is happening this very Friday at the Highland Park Middle School. I'll provide an image that can be posted with the show notes. It's a bunch of high schoolers who are passionate about anime. They're going to have a little cosplay expo. They're going to have an exhibition. They're going to have some panels with Kiki Joy, and they're going to have musicians.
Good.
Coming in to play video game and anime covers.
It's so
and
good.
All kinds of stuff. Like, it's for something that's going to be 3 hours, they're packing a lot of convention into that time.
Nice.
And so the cost of admission, there's a recommended donation amount to get a button, and then that button is your pass.
Nice.
Very
cool.
It is exciting to see the youths really be passionate about stuff and do cool things. And this is where it all starts.
Nice.
So,
yay. Yeah. And then James and I are once again hosting the Jasmine Dragon Party Room this year.
Hell yeah.
So make sure to come by for that. But in order to do so, what we are doing is we are going to have a second room.
Dun, dun, dun!
We're going to have... It's going to be party in the front, business in the back. It's...
So everybody is required to have a mullet.
A reverse mullet. That'd be a reverse mullet.
Everybody's required to have a reverse mullet.
Yes. Figure out your cosplay wigs now.
Yeah.
Actually, that sounds horribly similar to the Karen haircut, so please don't do that.
I mean, that too.
Anyway, but no, so the front room, we're going to have games and conversation and things like that. And then in the back room, it's just going to be a nice, cozy little hangout space with cartoons and coloring and crafts and just till space, right?
Yeah.
But this means that our costs have gone up a bit.
Yeah.
Furniture removal is a fucking thing.
Not free.
No. Making sure we have stuff for the space also needs to happen. So we do have a fundraiser out there.
Yeah.
We'll get that linked. And any amount that you could give would be lovely. But more importantly, if you can share it and convince others to give, that will lessen the load on your pocketbook.
That too.
But also it just helps get word around. You never know who is going to Convergence. So maybe a friend of yours will learn about the party through our fundraiser. You just need to share it. So,
yes, please and thank you.
Yes, please.
So in just 2 weeks here, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after, is Fire in the Shire in Alma, Wisconsin. It is a one-day Renaissance festival, and it is only about an hour and a half from the cities. So it is a completely bite-sized little festival that you should definitely check out.
Nice.
It's fun. The festival itself is really good, and it takes place at a literal fucking arms and armor museum that is a castle.
Yes.
Go there. It's so it's so much fun. And the town itself is such a wonderful artsy town. It's so fucking good. Go there. Okay. And then in 1 month's time, 27th and 28th of June, is the Black Hills Renaissance Festival. Again, Casimir will be at that one as well. Ooh. It's a good festival. I like that one immensely. I know it's a bit of a schlep for most of our listeners, so if you know anybody in the Black Hills area, tell them to come on out and see the show. And does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye-bye, I love you, bye-bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so much to everybody who listens to this show. if you would like to send in a Fast Five, go to aonpodcast.com, click on the bit of Fast Five, and fill out the form. If you have any interesting facts you'd like me to have send those to me as well. Otherwise, on behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.